Okay, everybody, say today's daf Chof Hey. We're starting the Mishnah all the way in the bottom of Chof Dalet Amud Beis, the final line. Says the Mishnah, Ha'oimer, top of Chof Hey Amud Aleph, Ha'oimer Yevarchulcha Toivim, a person in his tfilis, says to Rabbeinu Shalom, the good people should go and bless you, and should daven to you. Says the Mishnah, Harizu Derech Aminus. This is a derech of minim of apikarsim. Why is this considered to be a derech of apikarsim? Says Rashi, because it's an inyan of being mishtatef the rishoyim together when we're davening and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at the top Rashi, Yivarchucha Toivim. So Rashi she'ein a koilel rishoyim. He refuses to include the evil people. B'shvochei shel mokayim, when he's thanking and praising Hashem. The Chachamim Lamdu is a very famous chazal. The Gemara in Masechtas Krisus says that among the Achad Oser Samimonim that were brought every single day as part of the Samoni HaKetoires, you also had the Chelbina. And the Gemara tells us that the Chelbina was Rechara. It did not have a particularly pleasant aroma. But nevertheless, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, throw it in together with all of the others. Shematzrachin hakosav lehartzoson liyoisam ba'aguda achas. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants all of Klal Yisrael to be together in one aguda, in one bundle, ahavas Yisrael, one yid to the other, and so therefore, saying Kadosh Baruch Hu, all of the good people are going to praise you. That's not the way you're supposed to do it. All the people will go and praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just the good people. So the story is told that in the times of the Baal Hafla, the Hafla was Reb Pinchas Halevi Horowitz. He was the Ruv in Frankfurt and one of the Rebbeim of the Heilig Chasam Sofer. So Baal Hafla wrote two other very famous svarim. One is the Sefer HaMakna on Masechtas Kiddushin, and one is Panim Yofos on the Torah. So it was a snowy day, like they're predicting for tomorrow. And there were only 9 people in shul. Okay, so we're going to wait and wait. And Baruch Hashem, a 10th person came on the scene. Great, we now have a minyan. And the Baal Hafla said, no, let's not start davening. Why not? Because one of the people among the 10, who he did not identify, but one of the 10 people, he was not so happy with his character. Let's just put it mildly. Baruch Hashem, a few minutes later, 11th person came in, and they davened. The person who the Baal Hafla did not want to be mitztaref to the minyan knew that he must be talking about him. He wasn't talking about Yankel and Beryl and Shmerel, he was talking about him. So he goes over to him and says, Rebbe, don't we have the famous Gemara that the Chelbina was among the Samamani HaKtoiris? And therefore, even though it was Reichen Ra, they were mishtatef and mitztaref. So, am I any worse than the Chelbina? You should be mitztaref me as well. And Hafla said to him, we were mitztaref you. Don't you know it says that Achad Oser Samamani HaKtoiris? There were 11. You were one of the 11. In fact, 100% the Chelbina is among all the others. So we mishtatef you to the minyan. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. This halacha in the Mishnah doesn't mean hilchos minyan. For a minyan, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to mitztaref people that are mechalei Shabbos, people that are apikorsim, things of that nature. The reason why today we are more mekel legabi chas v'shalom, a person who's mechalei Shabbos, is because we assume that they're all tinoika shenishba. You have so many people there that know absolutely nothing, zero about Yehadus. So Nebuch, they grew up that way. They're not chas v'shalom anti, they just don't know any better. I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. About, I don't know, it must be 15 years ago or so, during the year of my Avelis, after my mother, Oleh HaShalom, we were traveling together, the family, to Europe for a bar mitzvah of my nephew. Anyway, there were only 7 of us, and we needed 10 of us for a minyan. So I told my boys, go up and down the aisles, and you're bound to find 3 other Jews that will be mishtatef to the minyan. And of course they found 3 others. And the 3 others, although they were not religious, they were short. You want to say Kaddish, you want to, no problem. Anyway, davening was over, and one of my boys said, you know what, these 3 people didn't put on tefillin. Maybe we should offer to put tefillin on. Sure, I said, it's a great idea, go over. So, I won't belabor it, but one of the people that put the tefillin on, he was very happy, sure, please put on tefillin. But then he says to me, can you explain to me one thing? mean, I know that you're supposed to put tefillin on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but what's so special about today? You know, it's just a Wednesday in the middle of March or something. What's that? Why are we putting on tefillin today? So it just shows you, unfortunately, Nebuch, how little they know, how they tamek shenishba, and that's why we are mitzaref, even people that are not religious, to our minyanim. But the Shulchan Aruch says a person mechal shabbos, etc., you're not supposed to be mitzaref. Tinik shenishba is a different story, ebeisnish. And we continue on the Mishnah, al kan tzibayag yirachamecha, a person who wants to be very poetic in his tefillah. He says, Rabbi Yishaloyim, I know you have rachmonis even on the kan tzipor, just like you have rachmonis on the mother bird to go and send it away before you take the bonum, before you go and take the eggs or the efroichim. So, two, you should have rachmonis on Klal Yisrael. Although it's very nice and poetic, he should not say that. Why shouldn't he say that? We'll see in the Yetchim and the Gemara shortly. And if a person says in his tefillah, Al Toiv Yizocher Shmecha, Rabbi Yishalom, anything great that happens, your name has to be remembered because all of the good things in society are all because of you. Wrong. You shouldn't say that. We'll see why in the Gemara. Moidim, Moidim, if a person repeats Moidim twice, Mishasken Oisai, Machta Shvaig. Shvaig means you silence him and say what you're doing is improper. So on this Kansipa Yagir Achmecha, on the Toiv Yizocher Shmecha, on the Moidim Moidim, all three of them, this is improper and inappropriate, and therefore Mishasken Oisai, don't do that. We'll see in the Gemara why. Next thing is Hamechane Ba'aroyos Mishasken Oisai. Now this is a very interesting situation. As we know in Parshas Achrimois and in Parshas Kedoshim, we have a whole list of incestuous relationships, all of which, if Chas Yisholim, a person engages in them, Cholila V'Chas, he gets Karis. Some of them, there's also Misa Bidei Odom as well. One of them, one of the first ones, is Ervas Avicha V'Ervas Imcha Loi Segale, which of course literally means that you're not allowed to go and live Chas V'Sholem with a person's father or with a person's mother. And the Lashon Erva, we know what it means, without clothing, and we mean Chas V'Sholem, a person living in an illegal, illicit relationship. This individual goes and reads the Torah in a poetic fashion. And he says the word Erva really means shame. And therefore, what it means to say is that you're not allowed to say anything shameful about one's father or one's mother. And although that's a quote-unquote a nice interpretation, don't say anything shameful, and you shouldn't say anything shameful because of Kivirat V'Ein, but that's not the Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pshat in the Pasuk is literally, we're talking about the Erva, we're not talking about to humiliate or to shame a parent. And so therefore, this is also improper, Mishaskin Aysen. Who oimer, a person who says umizarach alay sitin lahaavir lamoylech. Now this is a very interesting situation. In the good old days, there was something known as moylech. Moylech was the name of an avodah zarah, and to go and serve this avodah zarah, they used to go and take small children like babies, and they would go and do something vis-a-vis fire. Exactly what they did vis-a-vis the fire is a machloikas among the Rishonim. The way Rashi learns is that they had two rows of fire from the right and from the left, and then you took the child in between those two rows, and you brought it up to the Avodah Zarah and said, "Hi Avodah Zarah, meet my son, he's a nice kid, and we're so happy to show our allegiance to you, and we go through the fire to show you," etc. Some learn it, it means that you have to go and bring it as an actual korban, a baby Nebuch, in the fire for the Avodah Zarah. Regardless, that's the Avodah Zarah called Moilech. This individual takes the Pasuk and he learns a Bederach Drash. Pashup Shad, of course, in Mizaracha from your children, Loi Sitin Lehavel Moilech. Don't be Mavir, don't go and take it down this row from the front as if you're going like to a chuppah and you have the Avodah Zarah there in the front. And therefore you're going down the aisle to the Avodah Zarah, and you have two rows, instead of having two rows of flowers like you have at the chuppah, you have two rows of fire. Now, he interprets it the following way. Umizaracha means that from your zera, from your seed, loisitein, don't go and use it lahaavir. The haavir is from a lotion of pregnancy, like an ishim uberis. Don't allow your seed to impregnate a goyish woman, la moilech, so that the child that will be born will be an oyved avodah zarah. It's a very artful way of explaining the pasuk, but that's obviously not the pshat in pasuk. So the way he learned it was, "Hu oimer mizarecha." He says, "Leisiten le'abra ve'armiyusa." Don't allow yourself to impregnate a goita. Armiyusa means a non-Jewish woman. B'shaskan oisim b'ziv. We say, "Shigena." Don't say pshat like that. That's not the pshat. The pshat is, don't allow your child to go and be brought for avodah zarah for this moilach. So if you're wondering to yourself, okay, so he said, you know, it's not the end of the world. Rashi says it has halachic ramifications. Because although a person, of course, is not allowed to go and marry a goita, goes without saying, but it's not an iser kares. However, it says in the Pasuk Lagabi, a person who goes and brings his child a moilach, menech risa, that there is a din of kares. And if he did a bishogi, he has to bring a chatas. And if it was bemazed with asra, this even misas bezdin. That applies to moilach. And therefore, says Rashi, be careful about distorting halacha in the Torah by making your artful explanations of these psukim.
When the person says this, so usually they're saying, we're talking about during davening. But is this,
it's not during davening, during the shir. During the shir,
is this the targum? Is this the meturgamun?
No.
Explaining this is just impermissible arguments in Talmud Torah. Okay,
very good.
What was the time period for people that were servicing a molech?
The moilach avodah zarah existed from the times of the Torah, at least till the times of the Mishnah. I don't know of anybody serving the moilach today, but there are a lot of strange avodah zarahs out there in Africa and India and China, who knows. But when this was in effect, when people did this avodah zarah, what they did was they brought their children in the fire. If you look at the Rashi in the middle of the Amud, the Rashi, "Oimer mizarecha leisiten le'avra le'moilach." Do you have that a little bit further down, middle, not the top? See, "Umizarecha leisiten le'avra le'moilach loisovoy ala kusis." The person interprets the pasuk: don't marry, don't live with a kusis, with a goita. The soyled ben la'avodah zarah, you're going to have a child to bring for moilach for avodah zarah. Mishaskin oisim nezifa she'oikir hakosim mashmoi. He's turning the pasuk and he's oikir it. He's uprooting it from its pshat. The pshat in the pasuk is that he's following in the choik of the Amorim. What did the Amorim do? They used to go and bring their children through the fire to their avodah zarah. And this individual, by saying that if you marry a kusis, that's the kiyum of this pasuk, v'noisin koris lavoy al kusis, he is now saying that the bezin should paskin, that vis-a-vis a person who lives with a kusis, there's a din of koris. Chayiv chatas ala shogi, misis bezin ala meizib asro, but none of those things are correct. Avad, it's a terrible isalav to go marry a goita, goes without saying. However, there's no din of koris and no din of misis bezin. So we said in the middle of davening, be careful about certain things that you say. The reason why you're not allowed to say moidim twice from davening, the mechse kishtei reshuris. It looks like you are thanking two deities, two separate gods. One are heiliger b'yishloim, and one some shemata god somewhere else, and that's why saying moidim twice. That's of course prohibited. When he says al atoiv yizocher shemecha, nami de mashma atoiv in v'araloi, that he's saying that Kodesh Baruch Hu, something wonderful happened yesterday, and therefore I love you, Hashem, and I remember you, and you're wonderful. Mashma, that when things don't go so well that day, I don't thank Hashem, and I don't say it's wonderful. Utanam, but we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechtas Brachos, Chayiv Onu Lavorach Ala Roke, Shem Shem Varach Ala Toiva. And that's, of course, the reason why when Chas V'Shalom a person passes away, we make the Bracha die on our MS, even though it's not one of those brachas that we have the craving and the urge to say on a daily basis. I much prefer to go and say Hatoyv Hametiv or Shehakol Niyabedvaroi or Hamoitzi Lechem and Aret than to say Dai Emes. But that's the din that if Chas V'Shalom something bad happens, you have to make a bracha. So to go and say Ala Toiv Yizachar Shemecha, no, on anything and everything that happens in this world, Yizachar Shemecha. Says Yimara El Al Kantzipar Yagir Rachemecha My Taima L'Choira. That would seem to be a very nice way of thanking Hashem. We say, Hashem, since the halacha is ki kari kan tzipur lefanecha baderech, when I see a kan tzipur, lo yisikacha eimala bonim, don't take the mommy with the kid, shalech tashalech haseim, first send the mommy away, and the mommy's not here, I take away the eggs or the afreichim. So it sounds like Kodesh Baruch Hu is having rachmanis on the mother bird, so it shouldn't see how we're taking its eggs away in front of it. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, like you had rachmanis on the kantzipar, have rachmanis on us. What's wrong with that? That sounds like a wonderful tefillah. My time. Says he wanted two reasons. Pligi bat Reami, Roy ben Marava, Rabbi Yosi bar Aven, Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida. Two Rabbi Yosis. One Rabbi Yosi, the son of Aven, one the son of Zvida. Chad Amam Nisham Matal Kinem Amasa Breishis. He causes now a jealousy among all the creatures or creations that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created. What does that mean? Says Rashi, if you look at the Rashi just past halfway down, where it says Gemara in the Rashi, go down another four or five lines, Matal Kinem. Loimer alo oifes chas, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on all of the feigelach, on all the birds. V'ala behemis v'chayis enechas. We don't have a similar halacha when it comes to behemor chaya. So there's a preference. The Kadosh Baruch Hu seems to love the birds rather than loving the other animals. Come on, Rabbeinu Shlomo loves anything and everything that he created. There's no such thing as he prefers the birds over the other animals. That's a story for the birds. And so therefore, that's improper to say. What he's trying to do is say that everything that the Kodesh Baruch Hu does is Rachmim, and that's the reason why we praise Hashem, and that's the reason why we thank Hashem, and that's the reason why we damn to Hashem. No! The reason why we pledge allegiance to Hashem and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are your nation, is because that's our deal, that's the covenant, that's our bris. And sometimes there are difficult things for us to understand, rules and regulations that we're not necessarily so happy with. I mean, it would be much easier if I could go on a trip, and I go to a trip in Poland, and I'm looking for a kosher restaurant. It would be much easier if I could always go into every McDonald's, but I can't. Why? Because that's Kadosh Baruch Hu's choice. Whether I like it, whether I understand it, whether it's I might like to have a cheeseburger's chas v'shalom. But the ma'isa, okay, it's correct. Yes,
there's a switch for the mission. The mission which says Hashem should just bless the good, and here we're talking about Hashem blessing I'm the good. So there's a shift.
What do you mean I'm the good?
No, so we said Yivrecha Tovim.
We have a whole bunch of different ones.
Only the good should bless you. Now it's blessing on good events.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's a shift. The Brisa is not on point with the Mishnah word for word.
No, go back to the Mishnah.
Right.
Only the good should bless you. That's Derech Minis. The Mishnah, the Gemara doesn't address that.
Okay.
But the Gemara does address the next three cases. Al Kantipa Yagir Achamecha. And now we're in the middle of that discussion.
I see.
Number two, Al Toiv Yizocher Shemecha. We only thank Hashem for the good and not for the bad.
That's the point that the Brice is bringing. Okay.
Right. So Brice already said about that, that is an incorrect statement, or it's an inappropriate statement, because we thank Hashem Yizocher Shemecha on everything, like we make the Bracha Dayan or Emes. So therefore, you chayv on the baruch al harok, yishim baruch al toiva. The question the Gemara is now addressing is, what's wrong with al kantipa yagir rachamecha? That's very favorable. We're saying Kadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim. So the first man yama says we don't want to make kin of a masa brachos. Second one says the reason is because we don't want to distort our relationship with Hashem and say Hashem is the compassionate one, which He is. We say Hashem, Hashem kil racham v'chanan. No question, Hashem has rachmanis. But that's not the reason why we praise Hashem and thank Hashem and daven to Hashem. We do it because we have our relationship, whether every aspect of it is one that we feel and see the compassion, or there are times that unfortunately it doesn't look so hot, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goyzer, He's our Hashem, we have to thank Him, we have to praise Him, we have to daven, regardless of what we understand or what we don't understand. So this Kansipar is limiting the relationship as if only because Hashem is compassionate, and that's inappropriate.
How could there be jealousy among the birds and the behemoths? It's a little bit esoteric to me.
Okay. Right.
Brother Shai is not concerned.
Okay.
I don't think it's that we literally are worried about that the animals are going to make a mass protest in front of the White House in Washington, D.C. You've now legislated in favor of the birds against us. I think what it means is that it's inappropriate in our tefillahs to go and distinguish between the different creatures that Kadosh Baruch Hu created and say about a particular species that Hashem has shown great compassion for them. What about for the others? Hashem shows compassion for them in other ways which we may or may not realize or discern. But Hashem, His goodness and compassion is for everyone and everything. There was a Baal Tefillah that went in front of Rabba, and he said in his davening, Omar, Atachasal Kantzipur, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you had Rachmanis on the Kantzipur, Atachus v'rachim aleinu, you should have Rachmanis on us as well. Skip the parentheses, Omar, Rabba, Kama Yod, Haim, Rabbanu, Letziel, Omar, wow, what a beautiful poetic tefillah. I really like this chazan. Maybe we should go and hire him. Omar, Abaya, What? Rabbi, I don't understand you. Vom Mishaskano, you say tonight. Our Mishnah, we just said at the very top, a person who in Ishman Esrei, in his tefillah, he says, Al-Tan, Tzipa, Yagir, Racham, Me'acha, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have Rachmanis on us as well. We just gave two very strong reasons why this is inappropriate. It's Kidim Amasa Bereshis, which Barry's not so happy with, Brother Shai is very happy with.
Not happy,
but he's not upset.
It's understanding.
Yeah, exactly.
It's understood.
Shai, it's not good. No problem. Good.
Yeah.
And the second one is because you're making Kodesh Baruch Hu's midas into Rachman, they know Xeris. So, what are you talking about? He davened well. You should mishask him, I say tonight. Says, Imar, you're absolutely right. For Rabbi Lechadu de Labaya, who the bar. Rabbi wanted to go and test the Baya. He wanted to see whether he chazed his Mishnayas, whether he chazed his Gemara, whether he remembered this Mishnah from Masechtas Megillah. And that's why he says, didn't he daven well? Rabbi, he davened well. He said, the Mishnah says, Mishal. That's what I wanted to hear from you, Abaya. I wanted to hear that you remembered the Mishnah and that you remembered the Halacha, that what he did was inappropriate. He shouldn't have said that.
Sharpen.
Yeah, exactly. Sharpen. Here, Lechadudim doesn't mean so much as sharpen. They call it today a chidon. Chidon means like a test, a contest.
Spelling bee.
Spelling bee. Or test. Yeah, test. Exactly. We wanted to test him to see if he remembers the Mishnah or not. Right. Nushtikal. Ahud and Ochaz Kabbat Rabbi Hanina. A Yid went in front of Rabbi Hanina and he was in a spal and he started off Shemon Esrei. We always start off Shemon Esrei. Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibra, Vanoira. And this person decided to add a few more terms. Omar, Hakel, Hagodol, Hagibra, Vanoira, Adir, Hachazik, Amit. Aren't these beautiful, wonderful terms to refer to the Baruch Shalom? Says Rabbi Hanina now to this fellow, Omar, Lei, Siamtinu, Lishvachi, Demarach. Have you finished the whole list? You can't think of anything else to go to be Meshabech, to praise Hashem. What did he mean with that? Of course, this is a rhetorical comment. What he's saying is, Hashta, Hani, Tulosa. Those three terms that we use on a regular basis. The Godel, Giber, Vanoira. Ilav, the Kosvinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Oiraisa. If it wasn't for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that said it in the Torah. We also Knesset Agdoyle with Tokninu, and then the Knesset Agdoyle put their imprimatur on it, they put their rubber stamp and said, yeah, this is good, we should incorporate in Shemon Esrei, right? Now, where do we go and see that Moshe Rabbeinu said it in the Torah, and where to find the Knesset Agdoyle? So if you look in Rashi, about three or four lines lower than we are in the Gemara, it says Rashi, because Vino Moshe B'Torah, Hakel, Hagodl, Hagiba, Vanoira, Asher, Lo Yisafonim, V'lo Yikach, Shoichad. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So he said, "Okay, I got like you want to." And the Ashkenazi Knesset Gedolah, the Sefer Ezra, they said, "The Ata Lekeinu, Hakel Hagodol Hagiba Vanoira Shoymer Abris VeYachazit." So notice they use the exact same terms, "Hagodol Hagiba Vanoira." So since they incorporated part of Shemon Esrei, then of course we are authorized to do the same and to say that it's part of Shemon Esrei. So Anan Leimrinulu. And therefore, anything, let's start from the beginning. He said to him, Hash the Hani Tolosa, Elab, the Kosvinu, Moshe Rabbi Raisa. The Osakilas, I do them, it took, these three Lishoinois of Hagor, Hagir, Vanoira, if Moshe Rabbeinu had not said them, and had the Anchikilas, I do them, not been misakin them to be part of the Tula, Anan Lamrino, we wouldn't say them. We have the right to go and start praising Hashem by calling in particular names. The At Amris Kuli Hai, and you decide that you want to even add more. Moshe Li Adam, in other words, what's a terrible? So he added a few more names. So Gam Tzkuta, these are beautiful names. So Adr, Chazik, Vamit. Says Imar, no, it's Moshe Li Adam, Shailo, Elef, Alfi, Alavim, Din Rezov. You have a person who has millions and billions. You met a billionaire. You have a Rockefeller. You have a billionaire. Or today, Bill Gates. Well, you McCall tonight says, oh yeah, I know that he makes at least $5,000 a week. I'm sure there's no question about it. He makes a lot of money, $5,000 a week. He's a rich guy. That's where Bill Gates makes $5,000 a week, so he's $5,000 every 10 minutes. I mean, it's a billionaire. So tomorrow, like, this would be a bizarre to go and say about Bill Gates. Okay, he's the guest of honor at the yeshiva dinner. He come up, we want to go, and we welcome to you, Bill Gates. He's been such a good friend of the yeshiva. Every day he goes and sends in $1, and it's really, really appreciated. Every, throughout the year, $365. You know what it means? Shee, this is really welcome relief for the yeshiva. People say, you're nuts, this is comical. Bill Gates give me $365. Anyway, the point is, it's a gedak. Same thing as the Kodesh Baruch Hu, if it wasn't for the fact that it says, Agodol Hagibra V'Anoira, This is quite a kind. This is a petty change by Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Moshe Rabbeinu said it, and in Ezra it says the Anshei Kodesh Toila confirmed it, so we're allowed to say it. But otherwise, who gives us the right to go and start piling on praises to Hashem? Whatever we're going to say is going to be a penny in the huge bucket. Now this memra that we're bringing now from Chanina is really unrelated to the previous memra. The only relationship is that there too, when Reb Chanina heard this Baal Tefillah, he was not happy, and he said, Mashali Adam, etc. Here we're going to have the same type of situation. Reb Chanina, Hakub de Shemaim Chutz Meir Shemaim. Anything and everything that transpires in the world, whether it's in China, in India, in South America, in South Africa, North Pole, South Pole, here in Manhattan, or wherever, it's all Bidei Hashem. The only thing which is left to us is Yirah Shemayim, is that we should go and hone our feelings towards Hashem and have tremendous reverence and respect, fear and dread from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shneimer says in the pasuk, "V'ati Yisrael, Mo Hashem lekecha shel mir." What is the Kodesh Baruch Hu asking from you? The only asking is kiyam liyira, that you have to have Yirah Shemayim, and that's what you have to work on throughout your life. Zok Timar, Mechlal, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mo Hashem lekecha shel mir, kiyam liyira, Mechlal liyira, Mutzah Zotrasihi, is this petty cash? Is this small stuff? The only thing Kodesh Baruch Hu asks is the Yira. That's heavy duty stuff. Every single minute of the day, always to remember not to be oy, but this aveira, not to do this, but always to think I have a reverence for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I think of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. No, that's heavy duty. Every morning in the Gabi Moshe Rabbeinu Milta Zutusihi, when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying Mo Hashem Lekecha Shoyel Kiyam Liyira, for Moshe Rabbeinu this is small stuff, because Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, to be a Yira Shemayim, he did not consider this to be such an overwhelming
challenge.
Oh, that's the right word. Says again, Rav Chanina, Marshal the Adam. That's just like we had the Marshal before. Says again, Rav Chanina, Marshal the Adam. Rav Chanina, Menu Kli Gadol. You have a next door neighbor and you want to go and borrow this huge chulen pot because you're going to have for Shabbos lunch, you're going to have 25 people and your regular chulen pot is not enough. You need a huge chulen pot. So you knock on the door, do you have such a huge chulen pot? If he has it, it's as if you asked him for a little leffel, for a little spoon. He has one. But if you go to him and ask for a cotton, for a little leffel, he doesn't have it. It's a huge kli. If you don't have it, you don't have it. If you have it, then it's a sure. Borrow it, no problem. You give it back. But if you don't have it, then I don't know. I have to look up and down, back and forth. Chonish. So the same thing is, Moshe Rabbeinu, Baruch Hashem, had plenty of Yirah Shemayim, so for him it was nothing, that's a kli cotton. For other people, in a chanam, it's a kli cotton. Now all of that is a very nice drasha, but the Mefarshim ask, Moshe Rabbeinu is demanding from Klal Yisrael, Kiim Liyira. He's saying, Mo Hashem Lekech Shem Yach, Kodesh Baruch Hu is asking for you. Yes, for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a Milzis Utrasi, he was a Kleinekai, Taka. Agurish. But for everybody else, this is heavy duty. Go and tell Mickey Mantle goes and says, oh, all the Kodesh Baruch Hu is asking from you is that you should go and hit a home run. For Mickey Mantle, this is aggressive. For anybody who doesn't know Mickey Mantle, he used to be a player for the Yankees a couple years ago. So anyway, so to him, Mickey, a home run, big deal. He got 60 in 1 year, almost 61. But that's why for him it's good. But for me to get a single to get on base, that's a big challenge. So what the Gemara is saying is, how can Moshe Rabbeinu address Klal Yisrael and say Yirah Shemayim is a Kleinekai? So in the Svarim it says that how does one a person get to Yirah Shemayim? He should be mistabik in tzaddikim. He should try to get close to tzaddikim. Because if he gets close to a tzaddik and he sees that tzaddik's Yirah Shemayim, it will have a hashpa'ah, it will wear off on him. And therefore the pshat in the Gemara is, in legabi Moshe, if you cleave and attach yourself to a modern day Moshe Rabbeinu, to your Rebbe, to your Rosh Hashiva, to your Rav, to your spiritual leader, then Milta Zutrasihi, then Yirah Shemayim will be much easier challenge, much an easier job, because you'll see how your Rebbe goes and reacts to challenges, and you'll be able to follow in his footsteps.
Actually, very appropriate, because it's Legabe Moshe, to those who are Gabe Moshe, near Moshe.
Exactly, so, yeah. Exactly right, those that are near Moshe, and especially the Gabe Moshe. Yes.
There's one,
yes, what's the
problem?
Yeah.
So he has to be taka on such a level. You know, as a Yitzchak Moshe,
Yeah, exactly.
It has to be something special.
Very good. So try to get cleave to someone special. Do you have an available slot for people to get close to you, Simi? Okay, let me get back to Amr Zayda. We said in the Mishnah, if a person says moidim moidim mishaskin oisai, and you remember the Gemara said to mechsei kishtei rishuis, as if he's thanking two gods chas v'sharon. So a person who says shma shma twice, it's as if he's pledging allegiance to two gods chas v'sharon. Inappropriate. Bring the more meisvei hakodesh shma. The kaif, the person says shema, and he repeats it. Hari is a meguna. Meguna means it's distasteful. It's wrong. It doesn't have a good smell to it. But meguna hu dehave shtukin lemishaskinale. Okay, what he did is inappropriate, but it doesn't say sha. Don't do something like that. In other words, it's not a terrible thing. It's just not a praiseworthy thing. So, what is it? Saying shema shema, is it chas v'shalom like shtei reshuyois? Well, then, of course, we have to go on Mishaskin Oisai. Or is it just Maguna? It depends on how he said the Shema. If the person said, Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, Hashem, Hashem, Mekein, okay. The guy said, Shikla Meshigana. You know, that's not the way you say Shema Yisrael, you say it normally. So then, it's Maguna. However, if you said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then you go and repeat it immediately again, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, you just said it once. Why do you have to repeat it a second time? So it sounds like that he's thanking one God. Now he's thanking another God. So the Maguna is when he says in an inappropriate way, Shema Shema Milsa Milsa means every word he repeats with Tanila. The Pesuk is sitting on the Pasuk. That's the case of Mishaskinle. Frank Timon made a popular rover. Vidil may call the Kimandaita, Bahati Kimandaita. Maybe the reason why he repeated the whole Shema again is we know that you have to have Kavana, especially in the first Pasuk of Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekin Hashem Echad. After he finished saying it, he realized he spaced out for a moment and he was thinking about the Knicks and with the Yankees and with Mickey Mantle and Zachan Ashkayim. And then he said, you know what, I should say it over again and have the problem. Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekin Hashem Echad. So he meant it L'Shem Shemayim. He didn't mean Chas Hashem Shtei Rishuyas. Amalei Sarabah Sidra Baba. Chavrusa Klapi Shemaya. Do you deal with Hashem like you deal with a Chavrusa? If the reason why he didn't say, he didn't have kavana the first time he said Shema Yisrael, we're going to go and take the hammer of a blacksmith and we're going to go and hit him over the head until it was mechaven. In other words, when it comes to Shema, you don't go and play around and start spacing out with the Yankees. You have to have in mind then a Kodesh Baruch, and if you didn't have in mind, you deserve to get a patch. What type of thing is this to go and say Shema Yisrael without thinking? But my other parts, it's a long davening, but Shema, that you have to have the kavana. And so therefore, yes, was up to you.
No.
Yeah.
You have to have
Kavan. The Fadi
have to have Kavan. Like some people think about the Knicks.
The Knicks, yeah.
So all of a sudden, the person who realizes that he's speaking about the New York Knickerbockers are somehow, you know, he didn't realize he stops.
Right.
So I understand, well, sure. So what you must say is, too late, you blew it?
Yeah, but Papa's asking about Pidiyeva, then the Chatzimah. Rav is not answering him. Rav is saying, but somebody didn't have a proper kavana, shouldn't he repeat it? And Rav is saying, no. I mean, it's a b'dievet.
If you give him that b'dievet opportunity,
you're opening way.
So this way, he knows the next time he'll be.
It's like Erev Tav Shilin.
Right.
Disincentivized.
That person, if you don't, you have to have in the first three brachas of Shema Esrei, you have to repeat, right?
First bracha. You hold it.
So
you continue on.
So, in general, Rav Moshe Feinstein passed that he had a son that was Nisdiyah. What was his name again?
Moshe, the son of Nisdiyah?
Moshe's son-in-law.
Son-in-law. I think Rabbi Tender passed away within the last year.
Years ago.
Rabbi Shmuel?
What?
Rabbi Shmuel? No, his brother-in-law.
Rav Moshe had reason I mention is because he said, or Moshe Klossi said, for him, he's at such a high matrega that I'll let him repeat it again if he feels that he was listening to Chavin. Everybody else at Paschim, it's not shy to end to have come up.
I don't know the story. Mishnah Berurah Lamaisa says on this that if in fact a person was not Mechaben, so then the second time he should repeat it, but he should repeat it quietly. Because if he says it out loud, then he should go and say it quietly.
So it's for the observer that you don't want to repeat it, but privately. So for
Rava, with his emphasis, very good. Rava is not telling Rapapa he shouldn't repeat it. He's trying to be emphatic that, come on, you shouldn't have such shyness. A person should never be in the situation where he's repeating the Kriya Shema a second time because he wasn't Mechavan the first time. But Lamaisa, if the person didn't have Kavana the first time, yes, he should repeat it, but with a whisper, quietly. So nobody should think that Chas HaShom is Mechze Kishnei Rishuyas. The Taz gives another. Eitzah Taz says, wait a minute, don't immediately say the Shema Yisrael. Kind of sit down for a minute or two or three, and then say it, so it doesn't look like you're immediately thanking a second Rishuyas, but it's more because of the Kavana. Anyway, on the Gemara Baita, we said in the Mishnah, Hamachana Barois, Meshas Kaloisei, we explained already what the Gemara is going to tell us, Tana Rav Yosef, Kaloin Ove, the Kaloin Imai. He interprets the words, Ervas Avicha, Ervas Imcha, not literally the way we would interpret it, but rather, it means the shame of the father. Don't go and humiliate a person's father, humiliate his mother, by going and spreading and saying bad things that they may or may not have done. Although, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara, we might say Shem about anybody, but certainly about other the Imoi, but that's not the Pshat in the Pasuk. The Pshat in the Pasuk over here is talking about Chas HaShom, a person who has relations with one of his parents, Rachman Litzlein. This is the way someone is misinterpreting the Pasuk, that Mizaracha from your seed, don't use it lahavir to be impregnate a goyish woman, lamoylech to be able to go and take the child that's born and be able to go and bring it for the avodah zarah. That's not the pshat. The pshat is not about going and marrying or living with goytis, which of course is prohibited, but that's not the pshat in this pasuk. Pshat in this pasuk is the person who does avodah zarah by bringing his baby to the moylech avodah zarah mitzvah. On to the next mishnah. Zut the mishnah baiter. You can ask three more questions.
Okay. I was hoping that Gemara would answer, but it didn't deal with it. So when it back to the Mishnah, the last one it says that you silence Benzifa.
Benzifa, correct.
The last one's with condemnation, the other's whatever.
So the Mefarshim ask your question, why the earlier cases have Meshaskin Oisai, and it's in Meshaskin Oisim Benzifa. And they try to justify why here it does add Nazifa with the condemnation, as you say. The other one just said Meshaskin Oisai. I haven't seen any real pshat distinguishing, but they deal with this issue. If you look in the article in the footnotes, he says, look here and look there, because in fact they note the distinction in the language of the Mishnah, in the text of the Mishnah. Now we continue on the next Mishnah. Now we're talking, you find somebody talking about it. Oh, Baruch Hashem.
There was a note about it.
Good, thank you. So it's noteworthy. On to the next Mishnah. Now we're talking about a person who is the Balkore, who's laning, as well as the Metargen, and not only in Torah reading, but also in the reading of the Haftorah. And we're going to see that certain parts should be read, should not be read, one should be Metargen, one should not be Metargen. All the concern that we have is, unfortunately, for the Amaratzim, that are going to misinterpret what they hear, and so therefore we don't want to feed them with things which afterwards could lead to problems. So, the Gemara is going to explain each one of these in fairly great detail. So, the Mishnah, Maaser Reuven. The Maaser Reuven, it says in the Pasuk, Rashi brings the first part of the Pasuk, Vayishkav es Bilha Pilegish Oviv. On the surface, it sounds like Reuven went and lived together with the concubine, with the Pelegish of Oviv, of Yaakov Avinu. We know what Rashi says. The Rashi says that after Rachel passed away, then he, Yaakov Avinu, took his bed, so to speak, to be together with Bilha, and Reuven was infuriated, and he said, Mela, he goes to Rachel, not to Leah, but to go to Bilha, not to Leah. Leah's my mommy, and therefore Reuven went and put the bed over into the oil of Leah, and although he himself physically had nothing to do with Bilha, but nevertheless, because he interfered in these types of intimate relationships, the Pasuk speaks about him in a poor fashion, in a critical fashion. But Yishkav is Bila, Pilegish Ovis, we deem it as if he lived together with her. So says the Mishnah Nikra, of course the Baal Koreh is supposed to read this Pasuk when we get to it. However, V'loi Metargim, we tell the Metargim, don't explain it, because once again, if he's going to explain it in, by translating the Yishkav's Bila, the Amoratzi will say, wow, Reuven Shifteka lives with his own, not with his mother, but with Eishes Aviv, and therefore this will make a ganze scandal. So, you don't say anything. Blame Itakim. Maisa Tomar. Tomar is referring to the mass of Tomar together with Yehuda. That is Nikra Umetargim. Even though it looks a little bit shameful because Yehuda went and lived with Tomar, he thought, V'yachshevel Zoyna. However, as the Gemara is going to go and say, the Gemara, the Pasuk is teaching us a very important moral and lesson, and that is that Yehuda afterwards admitted he didn't have to. He could have said nothing when he saw that Tamar was going to be executed for having transgressed her Yibum status, that she should have gone and married one of the kids, and she was Mazana and she is pregnant and all the rest. Yehuda could have been silent, but Yehuda wasn't silent. It shows you the honesty and integrity of Yehuda, and therefore it's not shameful. To the contrary, it shows what a great person Yehuda was. Is Masa Toma Nikra Umetak? Masa Egel Rishon Nikra, where it talks about Klal Yisrael sinning with the Egel Nikra Umetakim. Vasheni Nikra Vloy Umetakim. What exactly is this Sheni? So Rashi explains when Aharon went and repeated the whole story to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu asked him, "What happened? I was up in Shemayim. I come down and I see the whole Egel. What's going on?" So there's a bit of a repetition of the Torah. The only problem that we have is, as the Gemara is going to point out, is that Aharon tells Moshe, we put all of this jewelry and all this gold, we threw it into the fire. Vayetze ho'egel hazeh. On the surface, the words vayetze ho'egel hazeh could be misinterpreted as if there's a real godliness to this ego, and it emerged on its own without divine authorization upstairs in Shemayim, as if it emerged on its own because it had real, real magical godly powers. And therefore, sorry?
They put the Shem Mefarsh.
Exactly. So therefore we are concerned that people will be misled and think that. Therefore, Tony Batargim, you read it, but you don't go and have the Batargim say these words, V'yetzu Egel Azad, that this Egel somehow grew out and mushroomed out of the fire. We don't talk about that. Yeah.
No, I get that.
You're good. I think Mark will explain in more detail. Birchas Kehanim, Dichanin. Ooh, Dichanin. When you have the Dichanin in Parshas Nasai, that's Simcha's Mitzvah Parsha.
And somebody else
also. Right. And Masa Dovid, the Amnoin, where it talks about in Tanakh, about how Amnon went and violated his half-sister Tamar. So on that, Nikroim Velei Metargim. What does David have to do with this? We'll see Miachim in the Gemara that we don't want to embarrass David HaMelech by referencing the fact that Amnon, his son, lived together with his half-sister. We'll talk about this more when we get to Gemara. So Nikroim Velei Metargim, you're not Metargim. Ein Maftir Mimarkova. We're not Maftir Mimarkova. Markov, as you know, is the first and second parokim of Sefer Yecheskel. We don't go and use that for the Maftir.
Tell me, is the Maftir at Shavuos?
Are we saying that this is Halacha L'Maaseh? Are we saying this is what it says in the Mishnah?
Okay.
This is the Tanakhama. And what does it say after that? Rabbi Yehuda?
Matir.
So who does it, apparently, who do we follow?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Good. Anyway, and Machloek is whether you can go into the Maftir Markov or not. Finally, the blessed Oyim Eim Aftim Bahoides Yerushalayim. I'm sorry, once again.
Eim Aftim Bahoides
Yerushalayim. Kaimel and Kerbiyud. Last choices. Okay? Barry, last choices.
Thank you,
Brother Shai. That's what he masakin for his earlier comments that we were upset you a little bit, ruffled you. Okay, anyway.
No, I'm not set with Shai.
Neither I. Nobody is. He's a brother. The blessed Oyim Eim Aftim Bahoides Yerushalayim. Bahoides Yerushalayim is a parak in a capital in Yecheskel, which unfortunately enumerates many of the sins and travesties that were done by Yidden at that time that Yechesel is giving them Musar and Techocha about. So we don't want to go and read that out loud. So when it says in Maftirin, nowadays, of course, every single parasha, the Haftaritas are all printed in the Chumashim or in the Tanakh, so whatever, you can either write next to the parasha, in the back of the Chumash. But in the good old days, it was much more of each congregation tried to go and find something appropriate in the Tanakh that they figured would be a good substitute for the laning of that week's parasha during those years that we could not lay. So therefore says Reb Lazer, don't choose Oyd Yerushalayim for the Haftarah. Find anywhere else that we want to give Teichach or the Klai Yisrael, we're doing bad things, but not Oyd Yerushalayim. Okay, so Tumar. Tanur Bana, we learned in the Braisa. This is going to be a lengthy Braisa, which we're going to go through many different cases. Yesh Nikra Metargim, there are many parts of the Torah the vast majority of the Torah is Nikra, the Baal Korah reads it, and the Torgamin is Metargamin. V'yesh Nikra v'loy Metargamin. There are other aspects that we read it for, not Metargamin. V'yesh loy Nikra v'loy Metargamin. Not in the Torah, we're really talking about the Navi. There's some things that we do not choose for Haftarah, like this Hoydah Shalayim. Don't read it, and therefore don't be Metargamin. And now says the Braisa, Eilu Nikra Metargamin. And we start off first with a mnemonic to be an easy memorance type of thing to remember. Balas Akon Nash Bei Simon. The first, the base of Balas is Maase Bereishis. Maase Bereishis Nikra Metargamin. When we learn Parshas Bereishis, the Metargamin goes and explains it. What does it say? What's wrong with Bereishis? Now they say Mosli Shiuli Malam 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 Ata Malif Nimali Achar. A person might start asking questions and say, "Hey, that's the beginning. What happened before the beginning? And what happens after the world is decimated in, after 6,000 years? And who's God? And who created what? And what does God mean?" And he might start asking all types of questions, which Chas V'Shalom might lead to apikoresis and things of that nature. So I would think maybe we shouldn't go in with argument. We shouldn't get involved. So Timora Kamash Balan says, Amisha Nishtazai. Rashi adds another knach on the Amid Aleph, another reason why I would have thought we shouldn't. Because if you look at the last few words of the Rashi, the last line. For instance, we're talking today about the Buckingham Palace, and you want to tell everybody about its historic origins, it would not be necessarily favorable to start off and saying, "I want you to know for many, many years this was a garbage dump, and it used to stink over here, and you used to go and see all types of animals, and all types of shkotzim, and ramosim, and critters, and all, and the homeless used to stay here, and then they made it into a palace." It doesn't sound so nice. You would think about the Buckingham Palace, and it's been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and it started off modestly, but after it grew into a beautiful palace, blah, blah, blah. So, Lahabda Alfi Adonis, we don't want to say that the whole world was Toyu Bavayu, was at one time just a swampland, just a big garbage dump, and then Hashem created the world. So, that would be another reason why not to talk about Bereishis, but at least not to be Metargument. So, I might so have thought, Kamash will not know, it's Nikra Metargument, you can. I'm not worried about what people are going to say in that vein. Now, the next ois of the Balas Beis Lamed Tav was Lamed Maaseloit Ushtei Benoisim Nikru Metargim. We do learn about Maaseloit that he lived with his two daughters, and then afterwards Moyev and Amoyin and Metargim. You can be Metargim. Pretty more pshita. Why not? Mine is Loit. Ma'ud the same Nechash Loit Avram. After all, Loit was the nephew of Avram Avinu, and people are going to go and say, "Oh, Avram Avinu had such a nephew." And blah blah blah. Kamash Malan comes to Mishnah to tell you, yes, you can go and learn, you can be Metargamin. Yes, Reb Simcha.
It's not the story itself that's the problem, it's the implication of Chas V'Shalom making a boost. Obviously, it's an inappropriate relationship.
No question about it.
Is it about the inappropriate relationship, in other words, because it's Arayas and it's not
appropriate? Because Avraham's
family.
So what you're asking is the Havamin and the Maskana. The Gemara, the Havamin, thought because it's inappropriate. So the Gemara, Pshita, who engaged in this inappropriate behavior? Not you or me or a Yid. A Loit. And we all know that Loit was a little bit of a low life.
In other words,
Rashi says that he went and he lived next to Stein Vamoyra because he wanted that type of culture, that type of life, that type of day life, night life. So we see he wasn't going to Tzadik.
It's not the immorality that's the problem. It's the potential embarrassment of a tzaddik.
Exactly. That's the chiddush. Chiddush is I might think that Avraham Avinu would be embarrassed. No, we don't have to worry about it. It's fine. Ma'aseh Tom of Yehuda Nikra Metargim. Fake the Mar Pshita. Why shouldn't we go and be Metargim? Ma'aseh Melechlish Chavoyde De Yehuda. Look, puts Yehuda in a very bad light. Kamash Malan Faket Shavchihu. It's praiseworthy. The Oidi that he was Moidim Mesvada. He didn't have to. He could have played innocent as if nothing happened. And he went and he was Moidim Mesvada. So that in fact shows his honesty and integrity. So we should lay it and we should be Metargim. Mas Egel Rishon Nikra Metargim. Pshita, no, of course, Masegel. Ma the same Aleichah Shechvoy Dishu Yisrael, that we're all embarrassed every time that we talk about the Egel. Kamash Malon, Kolshkin the Nichalhu. We're happy that we lay it, the Havilu Kapar. Every time we lay it, we go and confess our sins and we're willing to reveal and expose that we sinned. That's a Shvach. It shows that we are Bali Tshuv in a sense. We know we sinned and we gotta go and rectify ourselves. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush Shechvoy Dishu Yisrael. Dr. Mara, Clothes of brachas, nikr metarkimin. When you get clothes of brachas, in other words, the toichecha in the parashias that had the toichecha, then you're allowed to go and read it. You're allowed to be metarkimin. Why not? Now we have over here the girsa of the Gemara. We have the girsa of the Bach, which really is a follow up of the girsa of Rashi. Let's say the lines quickly, and then we'll go back again, and we'll see what the girsa is. Ma'adasim neichesh duma feiged daitayu detzibur. Feiged daitayu means that the people will be so depressed and so distressed when they read about the klolis, they'll say, oy va voya voya yoya yoya yoya, and that people will really, people will be turned off. They'll say, this is, all these terrible things are going to happen. It's Kamash, no, we're not afraid. You're allowed to go and say it and be metargument.
I wonder when the Targuman translates it. So, about Kori, he reads it quickly with a low voice. And the Targuman also reads it in a low voice.
I guess so.
The big question is, what about why you have brachos? Brachos is so good to me. Why would you have me say brachos?
He makes like a package deal. You're right.
Well, brachos,
the brachos is a wonderful thing.
Yes, I'm saying. I'll just say clothe the crumb. Otherwise, clothe the crumb.
Gracious. Anyway, look, you more asharas v'ayin shim nikkur metargumen. When you get to the parshiyos to deal with asharas v'ayin shim, twice you have the parshiyos like an achrimois kadoshim that talk about all the asharas about like the aroyas and all the chas v'shomim get chorus and all of that. So nikkur metargumen. When you more pshita, ma'udasim nechesh tuma osalim mebad meyira, or Rashi's also called meyira umeyahava kamash v'lan. Meaning that maybe the person, when he's going to hear about these asharas v'ayin shim, he's going to say to himself, I'm going to be a good boy, not because I like any of this stuff, not because I'm particularly happy about following, but I don't want to be burned at the stake. I don't want to be killed. I don't want to be shechted. So he's not going to do it out of his sincere allegiance to Hashem. He's going to do meira, kamira, kamash mulan. I'm not worried about that. You can go and read it. You can be metarkimit. Now Rashi reverses these two cases over here. And Rashi says on the brachas and the klolois, he says ma'ud seim neichesh dilma. Not Faigidatayu, but Neima, he's going to do it Meyahava Umeyira. And this answers your question, Semi Lagavi, the Inyan of the Brachis. So if you look at Rashi all the way in the top, the second line, that if he's going to hear the Brachis, he's going to Meyahava. The reason why he's going to serve Hashem is because I love these Brachis. Nesatim Gishmechem Beitam, Veitzasod Yitan Perioi, Visiglechem Daish Spotir, Batiyasi Gezora, Val Chaltim Lachmechem Lesoiva. So the reason why I'm serving Hashem and doing the mitzvahs, I'm not particularly happy about doing them. You think I like getting up every morning at 5 o'clock and coming to davening and learning the daf? But if I get a bracha like that, then my business is going to be, it will explode, and I'm going to have plenty of food. And this, I'm willing to go to the plate if I get all these brachas. And similarly, when I hear the klala, it's meyira. It's not that I do it sincerely because I love Hashem and because I fear. It's because I'm afraid of the klolis and I'm happy with the brachos. It answers your question. So that's the reason why you have the hav of year. Now getting on to the second one, the gabe the oinshim and asharois. Says Rashi, if I get the tayu, yitloish dat lon kishishvu. When they hear it, yachlish. Yachlish means that their das will become weakened. In other words, they're going to be so upset, so distressed when they hear about, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get Kodesh, I'm going to go and get Alav, I'm going to get Malkus, I'm going to go and get Misa B'dei Shemayim, all these things. There's no way that I can possibly avoid an Oidish here or there or somewhere. I'm just a human guy. I might as well have a good time. I'm going to get punished anyway eventually, so let's go and live it up and do all the Averis. That's what I might have thought. Kamash Malan, you don't have to worry about that. You can say it, you can be metargument, and don't worry, everybody will do what they're supposed to. Continuing on, we're up to Maisa Amnon V'Tomer. It's three lines before the white lines. Maisa Amnon V'Tomer, Nikra U'Mitargim. So up to Gemara, that's Amnon V'Tomer. We spoke about this briefly in the Mishnah. Amnon V'Tomer were half brother and half sister, and Tomer was born from from Yefas Toyar. So Gemara elsewhere says that Amnon really was not over an Isser after all. But regardless, bottom line is you're allowed to go and recoyde umetai.
It's in the Mishnah umetai.
Yeah, there's a two gifsoyas in the Mishnah.
Okay.
And the Mishnah, as we go further down the Omid, if you skip down about 15 lines, you'll see there's a little aleph in the middle of the line. It says Masav Domini Amnon Loi Nikrim Loi Metai.
Okay.
So we're going to deal with that in Mirat Hashem shortly. So don't be too concerned. We'll get to it. Masav Sholei Nikrim Metai. The story story of Avshalom can also be written. Now, we don't mean just the mutiny of Avshalom against his father. Also, Avshalom lived with one of the plagshim of his father. And that's, of course, incestuous. So I would think...
Many.
We want to try to keep it down. We don't make a matargum. We don't want to. Yes, exactly.
You're right.
Yeah, for these purposes, yes. And so, therefore, I would think we shouldn't go and allow for the language. I don't care about Avshalom. I mean, Avshalom is Nishkul and Gazak, Rishit Tzadik. However, David HaMelech, that he had such a son, that the son lived with a Pelakshim. Kamash Malan, I'm not worried about it. Nikra Matargim, it's fine. Maas and Belegish Begiva Nikra Matargim. You know the terrible story of Belegish Begiva, the whole Shevet Binyamin was almost wiped out. So Gemara Pshita, what's the reason why we thought? Otherwise, Maas the same Belegish Lechvoided the Binyamin, that Binyamin should be so embarrassed and Nebuch the whole Shevet and Nebuch the Abbe, Kamash Malan, that we're not worried. Hoyushalayim Yasov Yisrael, Nikra Matargim. That's what we had at the very end of the Mishnah. That Pshita, why shouldn't you be able to? It's Chaposlik in Yecheskel, Perik in Yecheskel, Afukim in Reb Lezer, the Reb Lezer in our Mishnah disagrees, and Reb Lezer says that you're not allowed to. The sign you master the other Mechashah, you could lamal him Reb Lezer, that's Reb Lezer of our Mishnah. Reb Lezer says you're not allowed to go and don't choose this as your Haftoira when you're going to Chweiss. Parshas Kisavai, and you're talking about Chas V'Sholem, all the Toichicha and the Kololos, don't go and read as you have Torah the comparable, the parallel Hoydus Shalom. Don't do that. But Ma'isim Adam Echad Sheyikoy Lamalim Reb Lezer Hoydus Shalom Mestayam Yisrael. Reb Lezer was very upset. The Meila that he follows the Rabbanim that disagree with Reb Lezer, you're allowed to follow the Rabbanim and Yochav Ram Alach Ram. But I'm the roof here. In my Bismedish, where I said, in my town, where I said that you're not allowed to do that, and you have the chutzpah to go and lay that. Om Malay. So Reb Lezer said, instead of going and reading about the Eved Yishalayim, go and look back into your own genealogy and see what your mother did. That Nebuchadnezzar's mother had sinned, and so therefore this chutzpenyak was the son of the mother who was a chatzufa, who was oisekes b'masi teyeva, and therefore don't look for Yishalayim's sins, look at your own sins. Okay, that's the end of that shekha. So now, that was the beginning of the Braisa, Eilu Nikrin Metargument. Now we continue with Eilu Nikrin, the Loi Metargument. Which are those? Maser Uvein, Nikrin, Loi Metargument. Like we said, because it'll be Rashi said, because Genusei Shuru Uvein, they'll misunderstand as if Uvein lives with Bila. That's not true. He just moved the Bezo. Maser B'chanin Ben Gamliel Sh'olach LeKabul. He went to a place called Kabul. Could be. Vayikarech Hazan Akneses. Vayibishkan Yisrael. The Omaloy Lam Metargument. Vayibishkan Yisrael is the beginning of that pasuk that he lived with Peleg Yishov with Bila. Vayimloy Lam Metargument. He said to me, "Al Tetargem." Ela Achrayin. Only Metargem. The last part of the pasuk, because the final part of the pasuk is after that that Vayu Bnei Yaakov Shnei Masa. Right? Rashi brings the second part of the pasuk. And in fact, in the Chumash, that's the only pasuk that I can recall where in the middle of the pasuk there's a samach or a pei to divide up into two parishes in the middle of the pasuk. Shkoyach Sarge. Now the target of Chacham, Shibchu Chachamim, and the Chacham said, "Oh, good Ketan." The fact that he didn't go and touch the rest of the pasuk, he only touched the very end of the pasuk about Vayu Bnei Yaakov v'Shnei Masa. Ma'is Egel Hasheni Nikum Le'Metargim. What means Egel Hasheni? Min Vayir Moshe Ad Vayar Moshe. Now, what's the problem over there? Like we said in the Mishnah, Vayetze O Egel Hazeh, and the Gemara explains. Sanu B'Shem Alaz Oymel Oilam Yei Odom Zor B'Chu Vayse Pesher. Be very careful when he responds or when he says anything, because of what Aharon said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Pakru Hama'arim. Then Nebuch, many of the Ma'arim, means the bad guys, were poiker, meaning they became apostates. They became. It's from the same etymology of the word Pakru, but it means that they were poiker ol. That they threw off the oil of Torah and mitzvahs and they became apikarsim. Now, Aaron didn't mean anything bad with that, but using that, as you know today, the all of the media, they use sound bites. The person could say a beautiful speech, everything is great. Three words that he says, the leftist media or the rightist media, depending which side of the coin you happen to be, they go and pick out those words. You see what he said? Did you listen to the whole speech in its entirety? You could have gone to tears. Such a beautiful, poetic speech. They focus on three words. So that's the same thing over here. By the Tzveit Egel, people, Chas V'Shalom, can become Apikorsim. And therefore, don't be Metargim those words. You went up to Birchus Kahanim. Yeah, are you with us? Sarge, thank you very much for going in for 2 minutes. The part that we learned is relatively simple. You can do it. Birchus Kahanim Nikravali Metargim. Now, to go and say that you're allowed to go and be Metargim the words of the Duchening, of course, what's the issue? And Rashi already brings this in Chumash. It's Gemara Masechtas Brochais that it looks like a Kadosh Baruch Hu plays favorites. He's noisy upon him to Klal Yisrael, and it says in the pasuk, "Asher lo yis upon him, v'lo yikach shoychad." A Kadosh Baruch Hu not noisy upon him to anyone. What is this? A Kadosh Baruch Hu noisy upon him? So Gemara in Brochas says that Kedai Heim Li Yisrael, they are deserving of the Nesias upon him, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu only requested and only give a mitzvah. You only have to bench if he ate a kedei sevia, and then machvel atman ad kizay is viad kibeya. So therefore, they're deserving of the yisa. But again, the amaratzim may not understand that. They'll say, "Oh, you see, there's favoritism in front of the God Almighty," and so therefore, not to get into any problems, the lema tagman. Here it says, make up your mind, yes or no. Do we or don't we? So if you want to look, in other words, if you look in that parak or that capital in Shmuel, which goes through the whole mass and nebuch of Amnon and Tamar, at the very beginning it mentions Amnon ben David. That pasuk is nikra v'lo metargim. Don't, or like nikra at all. It took your soys over there. You don't be metargim because we don't want megnusoy shel David HaMelech that he had such a son. Therefore, mamach teshvay. But the rest of it, I'm not talking that you can go and read. Just don't read those parts where it says amnim ben David. So this makes the that's to make it too consistent. Where it says David of Amnon, you could read it when David's name is not mentioned. Where you cannot read it when David's name is mentioned. Okay, Zuki Mori Yetzvayt. Call me Christ. Hadchsiv, yeah. Tonerbat. Call me Christ. Aksum. So now, we have over here basically what we call Krik Siv. Krik Siv means that sometimes in the Torah you have one word, and we read the word totally differently, even though it's not related at all. It's not just that there's a letter missing or an extra letter. Here we're talking about totally different words altogether. So for instance, in Dvarim Chavches, which is part of Kisavi, part of the Toichicha, it says in the Pasuk about the word Yishkolena. Rashi quotes part of the Pasuk. Rashi quotes a pasuk in the Chame, Vashegel Yosheves Etzlai. The word Yishkolena means, it says in the pasuk that a person goes to marry someone, the Ish Acher Yishkolena. Now that's how it's written. However, the way we read it, the Balkorei and anybody that's reading the pasuk says Yishkolena. Now both of them mean the same thing. Yishkolena, Yishkolena means to go and live biznus with somebody else's wife. Yishkolena, however, is more of a graphic type of word. Yishkolena is a much, much more idle type of word. It's a much lighter type of word. And we don't want to go and say graphic words in shul and read it out loud. So therefore, Yekoinois Leshvach, that's a Krik Siv. That's one of the Masoides that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not something that Chazal invented. That's one of the things that was given by Kodesh Baruch when he gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, that certain words don't say them. You just read a different word. So instead of Yishkolena, you say Yishkolena. Sorry?
The kind of things that you see in a Chumash that are in parentheses.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. So somebody had a question?
Yeah, the words are more refined, the
Yeah, thank you. That's the proper term. Some words are a little bit more coarse, and some words are more refined. So the word Yishkolena is a much more refined word than the word Yishkolena. Rashi reminds us of the Gemara that we had at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, where it says about a particular king, Vashegel Yosheves Etzla, he's sitting together with a Shegel. And the Gemara there asks, what means a Shegel? So Pashat means that was his queen. However, one of the Pshatim the Gemara was Kalbasa or Klafta. Klafta means it was a female dog. And that's the king had as his queen the female dog who would sit next to him on the female throne. So you get an idea, Yishkolena is a gross type of term. Shegol, Yishkolena. Yishkolena is a much more refined term. Similarly, Bapoilim and Bat Choyim. What are these? They're both referring to, says Rashi, the Nekev Beis Harei, what we would say the rectum down below, where a person goes and relieves himself on the big side. The word Bapoilim, again, is a much more graphic term. Bat Choyim is a much more refined term. So when you have Bapoilim in the Torah, you don't read it Bapoilim, you read it Bat Choyim. And similarly, Cheryoinim Devyoinim. This is a very, very terrible pasuk in Malachim, which is telling us about that there was such a terrible famine that people in Shoimroin would go and buy dung and excrement to go and eat. The pasuk says cheryoinim. Cheryoinim is from a lashon of excrement that comes out from the chor. Chor is the hole at the bottom from the rectum, the bottom of a person. Instead of cheryoinim, he's supposed to read it divyoinim. Divyoinim means something which is dove, Lashon Zav, flowing from Yoinim. Yoinim and Yoinim are, of course, doves. So doves also have excrement. But we don't even refer to the word excrement. We don't say Tzoya. We go and say, you know, the thing that flows from the doves, instead of saying about human excrement or that of animals, to use a more refined term. Now, the next pasuk is referring to Avodah Zarah. And it says about the... Is this the one? No, this... No, no. This is... One of them is... Again, about the people that Nebuch are so desperate. They're eating chayreim. Chayreim means, again, the excrement that comes out from the char, from the hole down below. And velishis meimei shineim. Meimei shineim, explains Rashi, means soft stool. Because at the rectum down below, where you have the hemorrhoids and all that type of stuff you have over here, what the Gemara calls teeth, the teeth that holds back the stuff there in the bottom. Anyway, those are muscles and whatever. So, you don't have liquid coming out of there unless you have soft stool. So it says, in Nebuch, the people were so desperate, they were eating both the hard stool and the soft stool. So to go and soften the pasuk and to make it more refined, we say, lechol es tzayasam, v'lishtoy says, meimei raglein, that they're drinking their urine. It's a little bit better than saying that they're drinking from their soft stool. Okay, so this is talking about the Avodah Zarah. And it's saying that you take some of the Avodah Zarah, which are Bameis Baal, which are there, these huge altars and statues and all the rest, and they're going to eventually become machrois into a privy. In other words, like into a toilet. However, using the term toilet is not such a refined term, so we say lemoitzois. A lavatory. What is a lavatory? It's also a toilet, but they use a nicer term than saying machrois. No! You should go and use the word machrois, even though it's more of a graphic term. Because we're talking about Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to go and mock and denigrate to the nth degree, so you can use the term machrois. In fact, the Gemara says it on Nachman. Call it tzenusa, asira bar mitzenusa, Avodah Zarah. Any type of litzanus. Now, people use the term litzanus today to mean to poke fun and to go make jokes. The litzanus of him means to mock or to denigrate. Any type of mocking of an individual is a terrible thing, because people, when they chas v'shalom are denigrated, mocked, they remember it forever, and it really can cause a wound that you can never go and remedy. So kol tzenusa asira bar mitzenusa avodah zarah. However, to mock avodah zarah, that's no problem. You can go and mock it from today to tomorrow. The Sharia. And the Gemara gives a couple of examples. The pasuk in Yeshaya. Korah Baal, Keres Nevoi. Baal and Nevoi are both the names of Avodah Zarah. And it says about Baal and Nevoi, both of them had, unfortunately, constipation and were not able to go to the bathroom. So Korah Baal. Baal is squatting and is trying to get out the tzoya. Similarly, Nevoi is Keres, is trying to make a splash with the apparently they had toilets like today with the water. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but unfortunately he was having a hard time. Uksiv, and similarly it says another pasuk in Yeshaya, Karsu Karu Yachtav, both the Baal and the Voy are together, I guess, in adjoining stalls inside the public bathrooms, and they are both trying to make a splash, and both of them are squatting. Yachtav, Le Yochlu Malik Masa, and they weren't able to go and get the Masa, meaning the excrement, out. Unfortunately they were constipated, they both had to take laxatives afterwards. So you see that the Torah refers to the Avodah Zarah in a very denigrating way. Rabbi Ani Amahok, I have another Raya, it says in the Apostle, Eglis Beis Oven, your guru, Shechan Shoimroin, ki ovel olav amoy uchmorav olav yogilu, al kvoidoi ki golem imenu, al teke kvoidoi el kvoidoi. The way Rashi learns Pshat is, that we're talking about the Eglois, Eglois again meaning the names of their Avodah Zarah, these calves, like an Egel that we had, unfortunately. Shchan Shoyim Roin, the people, Yagur Shchan Shoyim, those that live in Shoyim Roin, are fearful. Ki Oval Olav Amay, the whole nation, Nebuch, is in mourning. Uchmarav Olav, the Koimrim are, of course, their priests. Rashi says, normally the Yogilu, they are very happy with their Avodah Zarah. Today they're sad about the Avodah Zarah. Why are they sad today? Al Kavoy Leki Golem Imenu, because of Al Tikri Kavoy Al Kabeidai. The excrement refuses to budge. It's still in there. This Avodah Zarah, unfortunately, has been able to go to the bathroom for a week. So Nebuch, they're all Bavelis. What's it to sign? When that will Avodah Zarah be able to relieve himself? A yid is allowed to go and tell a goy, shakla avodas chacham, go and take your avodah zarah, take your statue, take your idols, va'anche b'shin tov shalai, and go and throw it into and stick it into your shin tov. What exactly is a shin tov? Says Rashi, about six lines before the end, loshin v'chashufei sheis Eves Mitzrayim. In other words, you can go and stuff it into your backside. So normally you wouldn't go and say such words, but about the Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to go and say, go and stick it there in Mishin Tafshalai. Omer of Ashi, Haiman de Sanoi Shemone, Shorleli the Zuye, the Gimu Vashin, a person who unfortunately has very, very bad name in society. And the Chovetz Chaim says, we're not talking about that, just rumors. If it's not proven, you can't go and say anything bad about someone. But someone who's unfortunately a proven bad guy, then you're allowed to go and say about him, and you'd be mavazim by calling him, you are the Gimel Shin. What's the Gimel Shin? Again, Rashi has a pshat over here, the last Rashi at the end, the Gimel Shin, Bar Girta, this is not related to Ger or Gyaris, but Gar Girta means Zoina. Means that you are the son of a Zoina, you fellow. And that's the reason why you are engaged in Znus, Man Desani Shimonet, that he has a bad reputation, that he is a Zoneh, because he is the son of a Zona. Shma Saria, his name is Fishtinkin, it stinks. And they are therefore, I'm sorry?
Shem Busuk as well.
Shem Busuk, it means it has a bad name, a name that stinks. So therefore that's the Rashi. It's another chapter. But the point is, Zokti Yumara, that a person that people say about him that he is an adulterer, you're allowed to go and say, yeah, the adulterer, the son of the adulteress, who the one that has this schmutzige, terrible stench about his name. Finally, the Gemara wants to end off on a Dover Toiv. You don't want to end off on a Dover Ra. If you hear about someone who's a tzaddik, who does wonderful ma'asim, you're allowed to go be mishabech and tell everybody, oh, that yitz chazat, you should get blessings on his head. And we continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael.